that I have built it. Heavens and heavens cannot be contained inside these four walls. So I believe it, and I'm praying this whole week that the presence of God would be poured out and spilled out upon beyond these four walls in Jesus' name, that the city of Sandwich will see and it will be verified that there is a God, there is a living God, and He is just alive, just the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that He is going to be evident and verified outside in the street in Jesus' name. It was David, his dad, that says, "You faithfully answered our prayers with awesome deeds." There is a prayer, and there is a prayer of thank you, Lord, for hearing this prayer. Oh God, our Savior, you are the hope of everyone on earth. He is the hope of the skeptic. He is the hope of the one that is for us also, that has never heard this truth. It has never felt His presence like we feel every Sunday morning when we gather together in His name. Let it be our prayer that the presence of God will overflow outside of these four walls this week. May we encounter people. May God draw us to people. May we be drawn to people we have never been drawn to before. May God use this platform, this time, like He's never used before, because this has never been done before. But in Jesus' name, God is going to do great things. May there be an expectation of this week that God is going to do great things in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord together in this place. Let this be our prayer. Before we go forward, let's pray right now in Jesus' name. Lord, Lord God of heaven and earth, in Jesus' name, Lord, you're the God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, Lord. May your power be evident, Lord, in our lives. May your power be evident in us, within us today, Lord, tomorrow, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday. And may there be a consecration, Lord. May there be a time where we be drawn to pray and fast, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, throughout this week, Lord. For you're the God who's going to do great things, because you are the hope, Lord, for this nation. You are a hope for these people. You have been the hope for us, Lord, and you are the hope for them in Jesus' name. Let's worship the Lord together.
Longing just to when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you. I'm here to worship you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You may be seated if you like.
there anything too hard for the Lord? Our God is the God of the breakthrough.
Thank you, Jesus.
There is nothing too hard for Him.
Hallelujah.
We're going to ask the ushers to come at this time to receive this morning's tithes and offerings.
Thank you,
dear Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be in your house, Lord. Also, the opportunity to give, Lord. I pray that you'd bless every faithful and cheerful giver this morning in Jesus' name and the ones given by faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
Every praise is to our God, every word of worship in one accord. Every praise is to our God. Every praise is to our God, every word of worship in one accord. Every praise is to our God. Every praise is to our God.
every hand clap, every shout, every note, whether on key or off key, every praise is to our God. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
God bless you for standing. You may be seated. We have some announcements to make. Brother Tom already mentioned our Taking It to the Streets happening next week. I want to publicly thank Sister Davis for all the hard work and effort she has put into this. But it's going to take all of us helping her bring this vision to pass. She's done a lot of the legwork. She's been throughout the community. She got the city council to approve the closing of the street. It's been advertised, social media. There's going to be a write-up in the paper. Let me say this. As pastor, one of the worst things that could happen is we have all this publicity and we have all this momentum going into this event and then us not follow through with what needs to happen. So that's why we need you. We need your help. If Sister Davis asks you to do something, make sure you're doing it to the best of your ability and incorporate what help you need. That should be applauded. That's right. We are going to be inviting the community, other churches. We're going to be praying for our local businesses. We're going to be praying for our local municipalities and all those that are in leadership, the mayor, city council, aldermen. We invited many of them to come. Some have are saying that they are going to be here. We're going to have food, fun, fellowship. But ultimately, it is about reaching people. It is about strengthening our ties and our connections to the community and getting the word out that we are here. And we are wanting to see the kingdom of God go forward and advance. And so as pastor, I am pleading with you to make sure if you are asked to do something that you do it to the best of your ability. And there are going to take many hands to make this work. And it may take you stepping out of your comfort zone a little bit. But why don't you do that for the cause of Christ and for the kingdom, for his kingdom to go forward. And let's have a good time next Sunday. And Taking It to the Streets, obviously we will not have our Understanding the End Time next Sunday night. All our focus will be on the Taking It to the Streets happening in the afternoon. So we just want to encourage you in that. We also have an announcement concerning our penny wars that took place over the last few weeks and the men battling against the women as we gave change and money to a great cause of She's for Christ. And we're going to call upon Brother and Sister Graham, and they're going to come right now and present to you the final numbers and the final results. I don't like that big smile and jog. I will tell you this. Well, let's just hear the results first, and then I'll... No. Let's hear the final results for Penny Wars, the men against the women. Take it away.
There's always got to be a first place and a second place, right? All fun and games, but we want to say God is good all the time. We did raise $697.14. And the women always seem to get more money most of the week. Last week, the women had $127.07. That's amazing. And the men only had $84.73. But the really winners are... Ladies, get your hats on, get your aprons on, because we're cooking. The men are the winners. Say God. God is good. We want to say thank you all for your help. And it's all been fun. It's been good. And we want to give Pastor Wells all the money that we raise.
Thank you, Brother and Sister Graham. Didn't they do a wonderful job in Penny Wars again this year? And this will deposit into the account. We will be writing a check out to She's for Christ. We have committed to a number, and we have raised that number and possibly a little bit more. And so we will make sure that we support She's for Christ in that. Thank you so much for your hard work. And it is good to know that I don't have to say anything now. The results turned out the way that I hoped that they would. So thank you, Brother and Sister Graham, and thank you, church people, for giving, making this fun, cooperative way to raise money and have a little competition as well. There's nothing wrong with that. So good to have my in-laws in town. It's always good when they come for a visit. And it was predominantly a big surprise for Kinsley, who turned 9 on Friday. And when she got home from school, they were playing, and then we snuck into the house, and Grand and Popham's were upstairs in a room, and I told her there was a surprise up in her room, and she should go up there and check. And when she opened the door, her face lit up because she didn't have any idea that they were coming. And so she was surprised. But it's always good to have my mother-in-law and father-in-law in service with us. And I asked before service if he would come and greet this congregation. Why don't you put your hands together, welcome him here. And Mom, if you want to say something, you're more than welcome to say something as well. Come on.
Thank you. It's always awesome to come up here because you guys are all family to us. And from what I understand, you guys were able to witness the surprise for Kinsley and stuff. So, you know, as we were able to share in all that, and it was awesome to hear that you guys were able to share in that. And we thoroughly enjoy coming here and visiting with all of you because, like I said, you're all family to us now. You guys are always so kind to us and stuff, so receiving of us. You know, and that, as he asked me to come up and greet and stuff, I just happened to think something, you know, a lot of you asked me about the hurricanes and how do we fare in hurricanes. And as I look back on all the things that have transpired in this hurricane that we just went through, all of us have our health. We all came through it. No injuries or anything of that nature. But, you know, God does amazing things in the midst of a storm. You know, now our other daughter, Brittany, she had a catastrophe kind of in her house with sewage backing up in her house and stuff. And as we look at what's going on with her, you know, she's seeing the hand of God. If somebody just giving her, somebody's not even in church, give her $500 out of nowhere and stuff and stuff, and she's seeing that. Then my in-laws, you know, sometimes God's got to do some dramatic things to get us to do the things that we really need to do. And in this case here, it's something they needed to do. They really needed to go into an assisted living facility. And sometimes it's, you know, on our own, we don't want to listen. We keep trying to hang on to things. And want to stay in a certain place. But God knows the best for us. And so he took their home from them, literally ripped the roof right off of it. And so they have lost their home. But now that has pushed them into a place where they actually need to go. It's best for them. And so we had to look at that. And then we had an instance in the midst of a hardship. We went to what we thought was just going to get a table for our daughter. And then we get up there and come to find out this was something that God was ordained of God, because we spent 3 hours with a gentleman that they've known for most of their lives, his life, you know, and he had been through a lot of stuff, raised in the church, knows all the church doctrine, all the church teachings and stuff, but he himself was hurt very dramatically in his childhood, and so he was rejected church completely, and has been in the world and done a lot of things, but in the midst of his hardship right now, him and his wife are separated and stuff, and now all of a sudden, he is reflecting on himself and all that he is doing. And now he is coming to God. He has repentance. He is looking at himself. He's looking in the mirror. And through this, it looks horrible, but God's working. And we got there. We spent 3 hours, and he did not want us to leave. And all we did is talk about God. And we felt the Holy Ghost was moving. And this man, young man, which is not as young as we thought he was now, he's 40 years old. And so, but God in his time, we just got to trust him, which is what, you know, if I can build on the foundation you already laid this morning now, we got to trust in God and be willing to be used of God at any given moment. You know, thank you. Thank you guys so much.
Tonight we are continuing in our understanding the end times in our third lesson. If you've ever wondered about the four horsemen, Bible prophecy, if you've ever wondered about Islam and how it relates to Bible prophecy, well, then I encourage you to come and be a part of that tonight. Also, happening right after, well, I shouldn't say after, at near the end of service this morning, I am going to have the privilege of baptizing my youngest in the name of Jesus Christ. He has been asking me for some time, and It's kind of one of those things where I realize he's just about to turn six, right? Yeah. I had to think about that for a minute. I got three of them. You start losing track. And these people say, well, isn't he quite young? Yes. And then they say, well, he doesn't understand everything. Well, neither did I when I was baptized. I'm still learning. I believe that when someone is baptized in the name of Jesus, it's past, present, and future. Amen. And the fact that he's been praying as he's been praying, been coming, it's been kind of humorous. He's been coming and confessing all sorts of stuff. But I'm just, he's so excited, and we're excited to take him down in the precious name of Jesus Christ. And then tonight, near the end of Understanding the End Time, we're going to have the opportunity to take Ethan down in the name of Jesus Christ as well. So we are looking forward to that, and I want you to plan to come and be in attendance tonight for Understanding the End Time. If you have signed up for bringing a snack, refreshment, please make yourself aware of that and bring it so that we're not all standing around with nothing to eat, but that we have a good time together. Why don't you stand to your feet? 2 Kings chapter number 4. Three verses of scripture will begin in verse number 32. I realize that I preached from this passage not too many months ago. I'll reference that. I assure you it's not the same message. While it is approximately the same text, it is a different direction, and I really hope that I'm able to convey what I believe the Lord has placed in my heart. It's amazing how that you can read a passage, you can read a story happening in the Bible, and then revisit it, and all of a sudden you see something else. See some new revelation, new understanding, and it is my hope that I am able to impart that unto you this morning. I don't always give the title before I read the text, but I want to do that this morning. This is the subject matter. This is the title of the message, if you will. When the promise begins to live again. When the promise begins to live again. I understand the connotation is that the promise dies. Well, hopefully we'll be able to see this in Scripture and be able to parallel it in our own lives. 2 Kings chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 32. When Elisha was coming to the house, behold, the child was dead. Everybody say he was dead. And laid upon his bed. He being Elijah, Elisha went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. He went up, he lay upon the child, put his mouth upon his mouth, his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands. But he say, eyes upon his eyes, or rather say, mouth upon his mouth, eyes upon his eyes, hands upon his hands. He stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Bible doesn't say how long the child was dead. We do know that his mother, not named, just called the Shunammite woman in the Bible, went, got the prophet. I preached not long ago a message entitled The Place, the Promisor, and the Promise. But aside from that, I begin to see something unique in a sequence of events that I hope will help us here this morning. I believe that we are, and I don't say this as a cliche, I don't say this to just elicit a response. I believe that we are living in a turning point. I believe that things are, we're already seeing it happening in the atmosphere, we're already seeing it happening in our world, we're already seeing it happening in our society, but I believe things are going to start happening as it pertains to the church and the promises of God coming alive again. I'm not saying that the power of God is not working. I realize it is. I will say this. It is not working near to the extent in the United States of America that it is in many third world countries. And so maybe, hopefully, we can parallel this to our society and living in maybe the United States of America and where we are today and the promises of God beginning to live again. How it's going to happen. And I realize this is, and I'm not trying to be a prophet. I'm not trying to be prophetic. I am just simply trying. I believe that the Lord has shown me things in Scripture that I wish to impart unto you. And there's a process. There's a sequence. And I hope that you're able to see the parallels that I believe the Holy Spirit has shown unto me. And that together we can learn the promises of God are beginning to live again. Can we pray, Lord Jesus, we love you. God, I thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace. I thank you for your love and your truth, God. I thank you for these precious people that I have the awesome privilege to stand before and preach your unadulterated word. God, I thank you. God. I'm so humbled, God. The understanding and the thought that you use me as nothing but a vessel, an oracle of your choosing, Lord. And I pray that I am able to impart into your people what you have placed in my soul, Lord, and that it will resonate in our spirit, and that we will have hope, not only individually, but collectively and together, God, and in our own lives, God, we would understand the process of a promise coming alive again. Lord, that we would see in this story, God, in the pages of your holy writ, something that we can apply to our lives, something that we can see ourselves and understand. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. We applaud your goodness, your greatness, and your love. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And everybody said amen. If you clap your hands and lift your voice, you may be seated. When the promise begins to live again. He was a son promised to her by the prophet for whom she had built the room. She built the room and entreated the prophet without any expectation of something being done for her in return. But the prophet promised her a child. And that promise came to fruition just as he said. Told her in the place that she had prepared and made for him, in the bedchamber that she had built for this prophet who sojourned her their way, and she had treated him, the Bible said, when he passed away. And one day he called her and said, about this time next year, you're going to have a child. She at first did not believe, but it came to pass just as the prophet had said. However, the Bible said once the child had grown, we don't know what exact age this was. We don't know how old the child was. We don't know if he was a young man, an adolescent, a teenager. The Bible says young man, and that he is in the field. While he's in the field, the Bible says that he fell ill, said, my head. And the father turns to a lad and says, take him to his mother. And this young man is brought back to the Shunammite woman, and there on her lap, in her arms, dies her promise. She looks down. She undoubtedly felt the flesh as it turned cold, and she realized his life is gone. He has died. The Bible says that she takes her promised child. She takes him, and she takes him up into the room that she had built for the prophet. And here's where our story picks up. Woman tells her husband, I need to go and find the prophet. And so she goes and she finds the prophet and she says, listen, you got to come back to the house. You've got to come back. This promised child, my son is dead. You got to come back. There the Bible says that Elisha came into the house and the child was dead. He was laid upon his bed, the Bible says. And he, Elisha, went in and shut the door upon them twain. And he went up and he laid upon the child. And he put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child. And the flesh of the child waxed warm. The promise begins to live again. In order for us to grasp the premise of this message, we must look at the two great prophets of Israel, Elijah and Elisha, for who they were and what they did and what they represent, I believe, are essential to us understanding how this story is relevant to us and how the promise begins to live again. You see, I believe, and I hope to show you through scriptures, that Elijah represents the former reign, and Elisha represents the former and the latter reign together. Let me provide the basis for this assertion via scripture. If, in fact, Elijah represents the former reign and Elisha represents the former and the latter reign, we can see parallels. Both were miracle workers and were considered the great prophets of Israel. One came in succession right after the other.
We have in the Bible that Elijah has 7 recorded miracles, where Elisha has 14, or the double portion, or the former and the latter. Each has the only recorded instances of resurrection in the Old Testament. Elijah, it is the son singular of the widow who was a servant of Elijah. Think about it. And then Elisha is the son of the Shunammite woman. But think about this in the sense of what takes place. Right before both of these instances of resurrection, you have the story that includes vessels and oil. With Elijah, it's one son. With Elisha, it's 2 sons. Look at it. Read it in your Bible. With Elijah, it's former. With Elisha, it's former and latter. Not only that, look at it, and you'll understand through Scripture that both of the resurrections took place during a time of famine. Both of them. After the Shunammite woman, the very next verse says, and there was dearth in the land. In other words, there was famine in the land. And so now we understand that both of these men are used by God in the resurrection of a young man. And it is in similar ways. The Bible says that Elijah stretched himself upon the child 3 times and his breath returned again. Elisha stretches himself upon the child, mouth upon mouth, eyes upon eyes, hands upon hands, and his flesh, the Bible says, begins to wax warm. He begins to live again. There's other parallels and other things that I could see and you could see that would show us that I believe, according to the Word of God, that Elijah represents the former reign and Elisha represents the former and the latter reign together. If we can accept that, and that Elisha represents the former and the latter reign together, then the resurrection of the promise in the life of the son of the Shunammite woman, I believe, has even more significance. There is an outstanding sequence that takes place in the story, and what takes place when the promise begins to live again. Now, you just have to indulge me in this, okay? And maybe you are an astute theologian and maybe you can combat what I'm about to say and what I believe according to the Word of God it would show. But until that point, why don't you just indulge me for a few moments in the sense of Elisha being the former and the latter reign together. If we can accept that Elisha represents a double portion, if we can assert that Elisha does represent the former and the latter reign together, well then there's a sequence of events that we should look at in the life of this boy, this promise. You see, Elisha representing the power, the Spirit of God, he promises the child. He is the promisor. He promises the child to the Shunammite woman in the place that she has built for him. So just for consideration, let's say that this promise represents this promise when the child is born. Let's say that this represents the outpouring of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, the promise. The promise is working in the field and says, my head, my head. He doesn't say, my heart, my heart. He doesn't say, my arm, my arm. He doesn't say, my back, my back. He says, my head, my head. Can I make this assertion? And maybe we can understand the parallel. What we are dealing with in our day and age, in the heat of the day, in the heat of working for the Lord, it is attack against our minds. It is attack against our head. And we need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Stay with me. If the promise and the child being born is the outpouring of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, and then you have the working in the field, and then you have you doing the work, and then you have the child crying out, my head, my head, dies after he is taken to his mother. Could it be that the Shunammite woman represents the mother church? Could it be? Again, just speculation on my part, but if Elisha represents the former and the latter reign together, and the birth of the promise represents the outpouring of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, could it be that we are in a day, in an age where we are seeing, if you will, in our society, I'm not talking about globally so much, but here in our world, in the United States of America, we are seeing and we are witnessing to a large part some of the death of the promise. While in the arms of the mother church. Stay with me because it's not the end of the story. Stay with me because there's hope. Stay with me because there's understanding in the sequence of events. So if that is true, and there the child dies, the promise dies in the arms of the mother goes back to the prophet, goes back to the former and the latter. Goes back to the power and the Spirit of God. Let me tell you what I believe is going to happen in these latter times. It is that we are going to have to get away from all the fluff. And we're going to have to get away from all the entertainment. And we're going to have to get away from all the other stuff that is not the Spirit of God. And we're going to have to go back to the strict power and presence of Almighty God. Where it ain't because of our singing, and it ain't because of our program, and it ain't because of what we go through in the process. It's because we've gone back to the former and the latter reign together, that we're going back to the power and presence of God. And I like good music, and I love good preaching, but I want the power and presence of God. Could it be one of the first steps for the promise to live again? Is that the mother church understands we got to get back to the power of God. We got to get back to the Spirit of God. That's got to be what brings the promise to life again. See, the former and the latter reign together. The time of famine at the death of a promise, but they come back in contact with the power of God. The promise comes back in contact with the power of God. See, Elisha sent Gehazi ahead with his staff and said, hey, go lay it upon the child. Guess what? Nada happened. Nothing happened. And I've always wondered why is that? Why Elisha told Gehazi, go take the staff and lay it upon the child. Was the Lord trying to teach something to Elisha in this moment? Or was he trying to teach us, the church, that we would read later on and understand the significance of the story and understand it takes that which represents the former and the latter reign together, the Spirit and the power of God. And it comes back in contact with the promise. Pay attention to verse number 34, because here's the process. And he went up and laid upon the child, and he put his mouth upon his mouth, and his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands. And then I begin to see it. Why does the Bible say that it happens like this? We know the Bible is very clear. Every jot, every tittle, everything has a reason. There's a reason why the sequence takes place like this. There's a reason why it was mouth upon mouth and eyes upon eyes and then hands upon hands. So I begin to think and understand. Well, mouth upon mouth, would this not represent the Word of God? Would this not represent speaking? Now, and please understand, what I believe is going to help the promises of God to come alive again. It's not, we have the truth. We have the revelation of the mighty God in Christ. We have the understanding that the Word of God was made flesh. We understand that. We get that. But there's some other things in the Word of God that we as a church have yet to grasp. Oh, now it's about to get real. See, for so long, and I love our doctrine, and I love the oneness of God, and I love preaching it, and I love teaching it, but there's more in the Word of God than just the revelation of who He is. There's also the revelation of what He does. And this is what I believe is going to start happening. There's going to be some words given out. We understand that words have creative power. All the host of heaven were breathed by the breath of His mouth, the Bible says. So here's what's, I believe is going to happen. There is going to be what's going to start coming alive again. And I believe in the Word of God, and I believe in the good preaching. But I believe that it's just going to be, it's not just going to be about doctrine. And it's not just going to be about salvation. While those things are needful and those things are necessary, the Word of God is going to start going to be about us reaching to our fellow man and us giving a cup of water, even in a prophet's name, and us visiting those that are in prison and us sharing food and clothing with those that are in need. The Word of God will begin to come alive again, mouth upon mouth. And then eyes upon eyes. And then vision. And then seeing things as God sees them. True vision, not just temporal sight, but eternal vision. Things where we start seeing and we start witnessing, where we start seeing things in the Spirit and we start understanding things more and we start being able to, I realize I'm stretching it out there. And I realize that we may not be there yet, but I believe this is the process when the promise comes alive again. This is the process. This is what took place when all of a sudden the flesh of the child, the Bible says, waxed warm. I believe we are going to start truly seeing what it means to be the church. To be the church. Not just a gathering of believers, but to be the church where we are making an impact and an influence in our communities, where we, the church of the living God, is doing great things. Because here's the next thing. Mouth upon mouth, eyes upon eyes. Not only will it be the word of the Lord, not only will it be vision, it will also be the work. I believe it with all my heart. We're going to start seeing the mighty works of God again. But what it's going to take, it's going to take the Word of God coming alive. It's going to take the vision and the spiritual sight coming alive. And then we're going to see the works of God. And then all of a sudden, there's going to be things happen. People aren't going to be able to explain. You're not going to be able to explain them away. Social media is going to go crazy. Maybe I'm ahead of my time in preaching something like this. I don't know. But I truly believe this is what happens when the promise begins to live again. I truly believe we're going to start hearing the word of Lord like never before. And we're going to start seeing things like never before. And then all of a sudden we're going to start seeing the work of God like never before. I don't know how it's all going to happen, but I'm excited. If I can but have a small part, if I can be a part of the process, if I can be there and witnessing, be a part of witnessing the promise coming to life again. But let's take it from a collective standpoint. What about your individual promises? What about things in your life? What about promises of God that you have yet to see come alive? Or maybe at one time they were living but have since died. Maybe circumstance and situation have caused you to believe, and maybe the attack has been upon your mindset and you really don't understand and you don't know, can these promises come to fruition? Can they be fulfilled in my life? Can I see this promise live again? Can I tell you what I believe according to the Word of God is that you're going to have to start speaking differently. In order for the promise to live again, what comes out of your mouth is going to have to be words that give life to the promise. What comes out of your mouth is going to have to be words of faith spoken with the understanding that the promise will live again. It's not going to be dead forever. It will rise up one of these days, and it's going to have to come alive in your spirit, in you, something that says, I'm going to speak to those things that are not as though they were. It may not be living yet, but I'm going to speak like it's already alive. It may not have breath yet, but I'm going to speak to it like it's already living. What are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about some promises in your life that you need to start speaking to. You need to look at it and say, hey, no, you're not gone. It's not over. My kids are coming back. I'm not going to treat them like they're sinners. I'm going to treat them as I see them. One day at the altar with their hands lifted up, I'm speaking to the promise. It's what's going to give it life. Not only do you need to change the way you're talking about it, you need to change the way you're seeing it. You need to see it from God's perspective. He knows the end from the beginning. And you need to say, Lord, anoint my eyes to see it. Lord, anoint this. Let me see my spouse back in the altar. Let me see my loved one back in the things of God. Let me start seeing it. Because if I can speak it and I can see it, oh, then, Lord, put my hands to working on it. Put my hands to working on it. Well, I don't know how it's going to happen. That's all right. I just believe the promise is going to live again. I just believe there's a process. So I'm going to start speaking like it's not dead. And I'm going to start seeing like it's alive and well. And I'm going to start working towards that end. The promise would live again. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. We talk about, and I believe we do so, the pure heart. I want to see the book of Acts come to life again. I've said it many times. I haven't seen it happen yet, but I believe it's the fact that I'm willing to say it again and again. I'm putting mouth upon mouth. I believe that one of these times, as I'm preaching, just like in Acts chapter 10, someone's going to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I want to see it. Lord, help me. The promise lives again. The flesh of the child, the Bible says, wax warm. It began to live again. I realize that after that, the child sneezed 7 times. Well, maybe you got revelation on that. I ain't yet. I'm still looking for it. This I do know. If Elisha represents the former and the latter reign together, he came in contact with the promise. He put mouth upon mouth and eyes upon eyes and hands upon hands. And then the promise began to live again. The flesh of the child waxed warm. Lord, I'm believing things are warming up. Oh, maybe you don't, but I'm believing things are warm. I see things happening all around. I mean, maybe you think all these calamities are just coincidence. I do not. I do not. All of creation groans. I wonder if even now, former, the latter reign, the power and presence of God is getting closer and closer to the body. I wonder how long before it stretches itself upon the promise. Mouth to mouth and eyes to eyes, hands to hands. All of a sudden, the word of God begins to spring forth like never before. vision, spiritual sight. The work of the Lord increases. The promise lives again. Maybe you don't feel it in the atmosphere, but I'm starting to feel an urgency in the atmosphere. I'm starting to feel things heating up. And I'm not just talking about persecution. I'm not talking about what's happening in our world in the sense of looking at the church. And what I'm talking about is things happening in the spiritual realm. I believe the enemy knows he has but a short time. Lord, let things begin to heat up even now. In your own personal life, there's promises that you want to see live again. I encourage you, start speaking to them. Things that are not as though they were. Start seeing differently. Don't always notice the negative. Don't always notice the things that are wrong. Start seeing things that are right. Start seeing things as God would have you to see them. Start looking beyond the temple and the right here and the right now. And start looking ahead. Put your hand to the plow and begin to work for the Lord. Begin to do like you've never done before. Work while it is yet day. Do what you can do. Let God lead you that the promise would live again, that the promise would begin to live again. These altars are open. There's some that would join others and say, I'm coming. I'm believing what pastor's preaching about. We're a part of that time, and I want to be influential. I want to have my part in the process.
Doesn't matter what I feel, doesn't matter what I see, my hope will always be in your promises to me. Now I'm casting out all fear, for your love has set me free. My hope will always be your promises to me. Doesn't matter what I feel, doesn't matter what I see, my hope will always be.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Your promises.
When the promise begins to live again.
Now I'm casting out all fear.
Mouth upon mouth, eyes upon eyes, hands upon hands.
My hope will always be your promises to me. Doesn't matter what I feel, doesn't matter what I see.
Can I feel things
my
warming
hope
up?
Will always be.
Can I feel things warming
your
up in the spirit?
Promises to me.
It you won't be long. I'll see the promise breathing
for
again.
Your love has set me free. My hope will always be.
The promise will be back out in the field before long.
Doesn't matter what I feel, doesn't matter what I see, my hope will always be your promises to me. Now I'm casting out all fear, for your love has set me free. My hope will always be your promises to me. Doesn't matter what I feel, doesn't matter what I see, my hope will always be.
I want to see the promises of God alive and well in my life. I don't know about you, but I want to see my hand stretched forth and others be healed.
My hope will always be your promises to me. You will always be more than enough for me. You will always be more than enough for me. Nothing's gonna take your love away. You will always be more than enough.
stop the plans you've made. Nothing's gonna take your love away. You will always be more than enough for me. You will always be more than enough for me. You will always be more than enough for me. Stop the plans you made. Nothing's gonna take your love away. You will always be more than enough for me. Doesn't matter what I feel, doesn't matter what I see. My hope will always be in your promises to me. Now I'm casting out all fear, for your love has set me free. My hope will always be your promises to me. Doesn't matter what I feel, doesn't matter what I see. My hope will always be your promises to me. Now I'm casting out all fear, for your love has set me free. My hope will always be your promises to me. Doesn't matter what I feel, doesn't matter what I see. My hope will always be your promises to me. Now I'm casting out all fear, for your love has set me free. My hope will always be your promises to me. You will always be more than enough for me. You will always be more than enough for me. Nothing's gonna stop the plans you've made. Nothing's gonna take your love away. You will always be more than enough for me. You will always be more than enough for me. You will always be more than enough for me. Nothing's gonna stop the plans you've made. Nothing's gonna take your love away. You will always be more than enough for me. Doesn't matter what I feel, doesn't matter what I see. My hope will always be your promises to me. Now I'm casting out all fear, for your love has set me free. My hope will always be your promises to me. Doesn't matter what I feel, doesn't matter what I see. My hope will always be your promises to me. Now I'm casting out all fear, for your love has set me free. My hope will always be your promises to me.
Feel free to gather in around the front. And Landon will make his way up here momentarily. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. How can we lift our hands? Oh, we love you. And I thank you for an awesome privilege. Thank you. Opportunity to have your name applied. Landon's life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
top of my head, just over my feet. I felt the Spirit moving all over me. The river of living water,
God.
The river of living water,
God.
The river of living water,
God.
The river of living water. If you don't believe that I've been redeemed, follow me down to the Jordan stream. Stepped in the water was cold. It chilled my body, but not my soul. I've got the river
of living water.
I've got the river
of living water.
I've got the river
of living water.
You should have been there when I prayed through. Church was on fire and the Holy Ghost too. From the top of my Jordan stream, stepped in the water was cold, chilled my body but not my soul. If you don't believe that I've been redeemed, follow me down to the Jordan stream, stepped in the water was cold, it chilled my body but not my soul. I've got the river
of living water.
Jesus.
We asked Landon when talked about getting baptized. I said, buddy, is there a song you want us to do at the end without hesitation? I got the river. Thank you, God, for your goodness.
Yes, amen.
Thank you for the opportunity to be in your house this morning. Thank you for your word, God. Thank you for worship, God. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you, God, for another name written down in glory, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What a wonderful God we serve. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. May go in the precious name of Jesus Christ.